another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast, the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we give y'all the best podcasting ever. And this is the greatest sports podcast ever. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. I know y'all probably like, hey, man, where the other three dudes at? Where the other three dudes at with the college football fan? Look, because Christmas break, folk got families, so yeah, take a little pause on the college football bracket. But that's coming right back next week, though. You hear me? Right back next week. But I couldn't leave you without an episode of The Fix. So I like, man, let me go ahead and give you an episode of The Fix. Talk about the latest things that been happening in the world of sports. These headlines, I'm going to get to you like I got to get to you when to get to you. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole. Straight from the side. Going down. Realest podcasting ever. But I do want to give a shout out to my dog Sam Dixie, my dog Dot Love, my dog Jafar Grant. Let me get my headphones. Let me get my headphones together. Oh no! Stop falling. Okay, let me get my headphones. That way I'm good. My headphones in. Let me tell you when. Tell your girlfriend that we all in the wind. You heard me. So what we talking about today, Willis, so we ain't talking about no college football greatest teams of the last 40 years. Because that's coming back next week. Greatest football teams of the last 40 years. So what I got for you, but before I tell you what I got for you, remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. Our stories from our perspective at your fingertips. The stories of the sons unsung heroes of the African diaspora. And you can learn about On the Shoulders of Giants by visiting the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. That is www.ontheshoulders1.com. You see it scrolling across the bottom of the screen, www.ontheshoulders1.com. They give you the information through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blogs, the On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on the website, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, the On the Shoulders of Giants On the Shoulders of Giants virtual classes, virtual speaking engagement sessions. You can contact On the Shoulders of Giants, and they can give you the information, whether face-to-face or virtual. Smart boards can be used, smart TVs, smartphones, tablets, computers, laptops, whatever you need to access the information, like I say. If you want virtual class sessions, contact On the Shoulders of Giants. They can give you virtual class sessions. Check out the online course on the website, and all that information is there for you. African history at your fingertips and on the go. All right. What we talking about today, Willie? Hey, man, today we got some topics that we're going to get into. You heard me? And then, you know, it ain't going to be a long show. It ain't going to be a long show. We got some topics that we're going to get into. We'll get into them. We're going to make it good. We'll update what's going on in college football, update what's going on in NFL and NBA, get into that weekly rant. But you know, we got to start off the HBCU spotlight. So our spotlight is aimed at a 13-year-old who made history as a 2020 Junior World Bull Riding Champion. All right. So also within the MEAC, we're talking about football, track, and volleyball stars who were named to the MEAC Hall of Fame. And two HBCU football players, NFL players who were named to the Pro Bowl. And our HBCU news is about a guy named Jerry Lorenzo who got a deal with Adidas to do some creative stuff with the Adidas All Day I Dream About Snacks. Yeah, he inks a deal with Adidas. All right, so then we get into our stories. I'm going to talk about Tom Brady and Tony Dungy. A little whatever. Skirpuffle because Tony Dungy said Tom Brady was the sixth hardest quarterback that he ever had to face in history. Some people lost their damn mind. Then we're going to get in on this debate of who's the greatest wide receiver of all time. I don't know why we're debating between Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, T.O. and Jerry Rice. I mean, Randy Moss said Jerry Rice ain't the best. But we're going to get into that. Then we're going to talk about the get an update on these in these college football playoffs, where everything happening, the NFL scores, the NBA scores. Then we're going to talk about Charles. Last week, we talked, our weekly rant was aimed at Kyrie Irving, but this is not the weekly rant. This is our free rant warm-up, and we defended Kyrie Irving from what Charles Barkley was saying. Then the weekly rant is actually going at ESPN Sage Steele, because she was replaced from the 6 o'clock Sports Center to the 12 o'clock by the woman she tried to get fired. Oh, no. So let's get into HBCU Spotlight, that's y'all. Yeah. So a 13-year-old just became the 2020 Junior World Bull Riding Champion. A 13-year-old. So dude named Nicholas Johnson just made history winning the 2020 Junior World Bull Riding Finals in that Texas, there, shall. Wanted that there in that Texas, there, shall. The Maryland native is the first champion in the Northeast to hold the title. Young Nicholas has been riding for a while and spoke candidly about his first time. First time I ever did it, it was a whole mix of different things. I was excited. I was a little scared, not too much. I know I gave him a country accent. I know I did. He probably don't. I guarantee you he don't sound like that. But it's bull riding, so I got to give you the accent because it's bull riding. So the young man is the fifth generation cowboy on his mom's side. So they ain't new to this. They true to this. Get your mind right, you ludicrous. Ooh, they ain't new to this. They true to this. Get your mind right because y'all ludicrous. So his father, Corey Jackson, said people are always surprised to learn that they are that they're from Maryland, not realizing that they're cowboys from the area. Bull riders have to stay up for 8 seconds to win. And Nicholas's father called it an avalanche of emotions watching his son ride. Me and Miss Mom are Nick's biggest fans. To be a great young man. First and foremost, this is what I love about him, Corey said of his son. The two plan to continue riding the wave, entering to many more competitions and continuing the bull riding all over the nation. Corey said this is just the first of many champions for Nicholas. Congratulations, my dog Nick. Man, y'all give a round of applause for my dog Nick. Bull riding champion, really going down straight out of Maryland. Don't hold him now. What you said, what you really want to know, Nicholas, up on that bull. Don't let go. Oh, really going down. Nicholas Johnson is his name. Hand clap for him because he did this thing. Boom! 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 All right. Second part of this HBCU Spotlight that shout is we got football, track, and volleyball stars that were named to the MEAC Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. So the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference announced on December 18th the 5 members of the 2021 Hall of Fame class. The inductees will be enshrined in the virtual ceremony during the week of 2021. The MEAC basketball tournament. So somebody starting off to say, I would like to congratulate the 2021 Hall. And then I got to press the button, go to the next page. Go to the next page, sucker. It don't want to go to the next page. And do what I say. All right. This is embarrassing. This is tripping. Hey, man, you messing up my spotlight there, Shell. Hold on. I'm at the fight this thing. I don't want to go to the next page, dog. I'm going to talk about this. Okay. All right. Well, that's not working right. That's not acting good. So we're going to bypass that story. And in the sense of waste of time, we're going to go ahead and bypass that. So HBCU Alumni Game 2020 Pro Bowl nods. We got two folks at the HBCU who going to the Pro Bowl. How about you? Everybody want to hate and say they can't, but these HBCUs putting money in the bank. Clank, clank. It hurt me. So two former stars have been selected to another Pro Bowl. Not the first, but another Pro Bowl. So the New Orleans Saints offensive tackle Teron Armstead has been selected to his third Pro Bowl, while Colts linebacker, our homeboy Darius Leonard, has been selected to his third. Oh, the boys going to the Pro Bowl. That's the end of the article. Oh, come on, man. Ain't get no more information. That's the end of, you got me all hyped to read the whole thing. That's the end of the article. All right, so Teron Armstead and Darius Leonard going back to the Pro Bowl because they balled out. They went to HBCUs and they balled out. So they get to go to the Pro Bowl. I wish they had to put more information into the article, stuff like that. Because usually they put a lot of fluff and stuff in it. But all right, well, we got two people going to the, y'all put your hands together for Teron Armstead and Darius Leonard going to that 2020 Pro Bowl out there, representing them HBCUs out there, throwing them things up, man, doing them how they're supposed to do, man, getting it down, standing down, being down. You know what I'm talking about? They're tackling, the blocking, and tackling, the blocking, and tackling, and killing everybody in the league. You hear me? So another stamp of approval of, just because you go to HBCU doesn't mean you won't be able to advance to the next level. That's why I do this, to remind people that people who attend HBCUs accomplish great things within the world of sports all the time. All the time. All right. So that there, I guess, concludes my HBCU spotlight. That shot. The HBCU spotlight. I said HBCU spotlight. I said the HBCU bot spotlight. Bam! Brought to you by your mother. All right. So HBCU news. A FAMU alum, Jerry Lorenzo, inks deal with Adidas. Really going down in the South, J. Lou. I see you, J. Lo. I mean, Jerry Lorenzo. What I call him, Lou? I don't know. FAMU alum, Jerry Lorenzo, inks deal with Adidas. All day I dream about snacks. So FAMU alum and fashion designer Jerry Lorenzo made some big waves this week in the basketball world. He didn't even touch a ball in the process. What? Lorenzo and his fashion company, Fear of God, formed a long-term partnership with Adidas that will see Lorenzo drive the creative and business strategy for Adidas basketball globally. Worldwide! Adidas and Fear of God share the same dream for the future of basketball on and beyond the court. We look to changing the face of the industry through a new model that will work to unfold before us in these times. I think they ain't showing the whole thing. I don't know what the fuck is up with these goddamn articles that's not showing all the information. Okay. Adidas and Fear God share the same dream for the future of basketball on and beyond the court. We look forward to changing the face of the industry through a new model that will unfold before us in the coming years, said Lorenzo. If you ain't know, it's Jerry Lorenzo. So there are articles about Jerry Lorenzo and his deal with Adidas floating through social media. Or you can just Google Jerry Lorenzo, J-E-R-R-Y-L-O-R-E-N-Z-O, Jerry Lorenzo, and learn about his deal partnering with Adidas. And make sure y'all check out his fashion line, Fear of God. And that concludes the HBCU news. FAMU alum Jerry Lorenzo inks a fashion deal with Adidas and his company Fear of God to create things for the world of basketball moving forward on and off the court. I said on and off the court. I said on and off the court. Say on and off the court. Everybody say on and off the court. Say on and off the court. Everybody say on and off the court. Say on and off the court. All right. So these next two topics I'm getting into, it's about disagreements and differences of opinions. The second, well, neither one of them are really taken too far, except if you like Skip Bayless. But other than that, it ain't taken that far. So let me read. So TB12 didn't make Tony Dungy's top five. So, of course, Tom Brady took to Twitter to zing back. So give you some context. So Tony Dungy was a guest on Shannon Sharpe's podcast called Club Shay Shay. So being a guest on Club Shay Shay, they got into the conversation of top quarterbacks. And I can't remember initially how Shannon Sharpe worded the question. But Tony Dungy was like, you know, I don't really like to get into all that stuff about the best quarterbacks and stuff like that, even though we know Peyton is his guy, Peyton Manning is his guy. But he was like, I tell you the toughest quarterbacks that I ever had to face. And remember, Tony Dungy was a player in the NFL and a coach in the NFL. So Tony Dungy's span in the NFL can go over 40 years. And so he did his top toughest quarterbacks. And Tom Brady wasn't in the top. Tom Brady was ranked the sixth toughest quarterback that Tony Dungy said he faced in his career. And that caused controversy and backlash. And a lot of people didn't like it. One, Skip Bayless, who's a Tom Brady dick rider, but Skip Bayless's opinion don't matter to humanity at all. But let me read some more. So, having previously said he ranked Brady as the sixth toughest quarterback for him to coach against, Dungy defended his choice on the Shannon Sharpe podcast with an explanation, and Brady responded via Twitter with the scoreboard S report. So Tom Brady on Twitter, he posted a picture of the 2014 AFC finalist banner that the Colts got because the Patriots went on to the Super Bowl. So let me read some more. So I'm never putting Brady ahead of Peyton Manning. So the best he can be is number two, because Peyton was my guy. Dungy began when Sharp asked for an explanation. Who I put ahead of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Steve Young, guys who could move. Not to say Tom wasn't great, but the extra dimension meant something to me. While Dungy's ranking was impacted by Brady's legs, the longtime former Patriots quarterback and current Buccaneers QB laid his fingers through the talking when he tweeted the reply. So that's when Brady tweeted the 2014 AFC finalist banner. And so this is a tweet by Club Shay Shay. Tony Dungy defends putting Tom Brady at number six as his toughest quarterback to coach against. Who I put to Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Steve Young, guys who could move. Not to say Tom wasn't the greatest, but you know. So with the scoreboard pick. So this is Tom Brady is saying, I was just having fun. I was only referring to him as the Indy head coach, not as the Bucks head coach. Brady said when asked about his tweet. So it was nothing personal. Coach Dunny knows I love him. I was just giving him a little grief. He gave me a little grief. I gave him a little grief. It was all in good fun. And I believe that. I believe that. Of course, you know, some people take it out. Tom Brady's the ultra competitive. But then it ain't. I don't think it was that serious, because how you going to be mad at my opinion? How you going to force somebody to put you at number one on their list? Not saying Tom Brady was trying to force Tony Dungy to put him at number one on his list. But just anybody who has a problem with Tony Dungy ranking Tom Brady as the sixth toughest quarterback he ever had to face. How you going to try to force somebody to play somebody at a number one position when they don't see them like that? If the question is, who is the toughest quarterback you face, and you put Tom Brady as the sixth overall toughest quarterback you face out of your whole career, it is what it is. You can't be mad at it. That doesn't diminish Tom Brady's position as the GOAT. That just said Tony Dungy, specifically, somebody who faced him as a coach, didn't think Tom Brady was the toughest quarterback he ever had to face. So Brady won six Super Bowls with the Patriots and during New England's historic run of AFC supremacy, Colts with Dungy and Manning were their arch rivals. Over his career, Brady is 15-4 against the Colts, including 4-1 postseason showing. However, against Dungy coach Indianapolis squads, Brady was just 5-3 and 2-1 in the playoffs. And also of note is that while the Patriots did pummel the Colts 45-7 in the 2014 AFC Championship game en route to defeating the Seattle Superhawks in the Super Bowl, Dungy wasn't the coach then. He hadn't been since 2008. But one should never let facts get in the way of a good comeback. Well, it does diminish it. If Tony Dungy wasn't the coach in 2014, it does diminish it because it doesn't say, hey, we put this 45-7 shellacking on you, so how could I not be ranked highest or even number one? It doesn't hit the same if Tony Dungy wasn't the coach. It really doesn't. But like I said, this wasn't necessarily to Brady. This wasn't to Brady at all. I'm not saying necessarily it wasn't to Brady at all, because Brady didn't say anything crazy. Of course, they poked their fun. I don't know the extent of Brady and Dungy's relationship, so it is what it is. So it could be inside jokes and stuff. But for folk like Skip Bayless and other people in the media who just thought that was just ultimate blasphemy for Tony Dungy to rank Tom Brady, to not have him ranked as number one, as if Dungy said that Tom Brady wasn't the GOAT. He didn't say that, but Dungy is still going to rank Tom Brady behind Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning is his dude, and he has the right to do that. That doesn't mean he's wrong. Skip Bayless talking about he lose all respect for Tony Dungy and his opinion and all this thing. Man, fuck you, Skip Bayless. Tony Dungy don't need your respect. Tony Dungy don't need you to have no opinion of him. Tony Dungy is validated. Tony Dungy's career is validated. Tony Dungy left the piece of shit Tony Dungy left in the toilet this morning has more football knowledge than Skip Bayless ever know exists. So Skip Bayless, don't you ever question Tony Dungy's knowledge, his thoughts, or his opinion about the game of football, anything around the game of football. With your 2-point averaging ass in high school when you're not even good at the sport you love the most. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're doing. You couldn't coach your way out of a wet paper bag. So shut the hell up, and your opinion don't matter. There it is. So that's what was going on with Tom Brady and Tony Dungy. But like I said, it wasn't necessarily Tom Brady and Tony Dungy. It was all the other people, all the media. Everybody who acted like Tony Dungy didn't lost his mind. That man ain't lost his mind. He said what he said. He said what he said. Now what you gonna do about it? Nothing. You don't have to agree with him, but that's the beauty about life. You ain't got to agree. But he said what he said, and his opinion is held in high regard because of who he is and his experience in the league. You don't like it? That's your problem, bro. That's your problem, bro. But Tony Dungy's place in football would never be diminished because you don't agree with him.
Oh, man. My opinion of you has changed because you had Tom Brady ranked. That's the 6th toughest quarterback you ever faced. Bitch, have you ever faced him? Have you ever faced him? If you ain't never faced him, fuck is you talking about? You never faced him. He said what he said, and it is what it is. The man didn't lie. He gave you his experience. If you ain't never faced Tom Brady, shut the hell up. It is what it is. Hey, man, don't you ever come at Tony Dungy like that. Don't y'all ever come at Tony Dungy like that. Not while I'm out here in this meeting. I'm come right back for y'all ass. You hear me? See, Tony Dungy's a nice gentleman, so he ain't gonna say nothing. But me, I'm crazy. I don't give a fuck. Oh, hold on. Let me get my arm. There we go. So, Randy Moss was on, him and T.O. been having conversations about the greatest wide receiver of all time. Don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with Randy Moss considering himself greatest. But I do have a problem with Randy Moss trying to convince us and everybody else and himself that he's the greatest. You're supposed to think of yourself as the GOAT, but you're not the GOAT. Before Randy Moss ever strapped up
in the NFL, Jerry Rice was considered the GOAT at wide receiver and considered one of the greatest football players of all time. Jerry Rice is the only wide receiver who's considered in the discussion when they talk about greatest football players of all time. So in my opinion, I saw a good deal of Jerry Rice's career, saw all of T.O., saw all of Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the most physically gifted wide receiver I've ever seen. No argument in that. The most gifted wide receiver ever, Randy Moss. I think Randy Moss is the second greatest wide receiver of all time behind Jerry Rice and ahead of T.O. But Randy Moss is not the GOAT, even though he said he was. So NFL Hall of Famer Randy Moss ranked himself as the greatest wide receiver of all time ahead of Jerry Rice in the recent podcast with Terrell Owens. He said, I'll put myself first. I'll put T.O. second. Jerry Rice is probably third or fourth, Moss said on Owens' Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Rice is widely considered to be the greatest wide receiver of all time based on his statistics. I almost couldn't get the shit out. Based on his statistics. So his stats are 1,549 career receptions, 22,895 career receiving yards, 197 career receiving touchdowns, 208 total touchdowns, and 23,556 career all-purpose yards. Rice also won three Super Bowls while Moss had none. Moss's logic was that statistics overshadow true greatness and raw talent. No, it don't. It doesn't overshadow because you need raw talent. You need raw talent and you need true greatness to put up stats like that. I'm talking about dominating the game and changing the game of football, Moss said. I don't live on statistics because if you live on statistics and live on championships, it's all political, which is bullshit, which is we all know is bullshit. We all know that's bullshit because if Moss had those stats, he wouldn't be saying that shit. Moss is saying that because he know he couldn't catch them shits. He couldn't reach them goddamn stats. That's why he's saying that. Man, to say stats don't matter. That how you think we compare people across eras? How you think people get into the league? Now, I do agree that your impact on the game, how you change the game, but let's not act like Jerry Rice didn't fucking dominate at receiver. Let's not act like Jerry Rice did not dominate. Let's not act like Jerry Rice wasn't game changing coming out of goddamn that little ass school he came out of. Mississippi Valley State. Not expected to see Moss came in with the expectation to ball out. Anybody know who the fuck Jerry Rice was? Wasn't no expectations that he came in and he balled out and changed the game. Stop that. Tell me this all political. Come on, Randy. It's not all political, man. It's real. You guys, you've seen guys release the cut from a team by just a couple of words in the media. You've seen guys not giving contracts just because of the color of their skin. You got to throw politics out of the game of football and look at the impact of each individual was able to make in the game of football. Rice's son, Jerry Rice Jr., took to Twitter to argue his father's merit as the greatest over Randy Moss, writing in one exchange, Moss talented, of course, but not GOAT. And I agree. Jerry Rice is on another level. Jerry Rice's intensity was on a whole nother level than Randy Moss. Jerry Rice wanted it way more than Randy Moss. Jerry Rice had that Jordan mentality. And imagine that Jordan mentality times 10. That was Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice with that Jordan mentality, that Mamba mentality times 10. Jerry Rice wanted it that much. Jerry Rice was willing to die on the field for it. Randy Moss wasn't. Randy was a dog, but Jerry was the big dog. Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver of all time. He was dominating on the field. He might not have the speed. He might not have the size. But he was dominating on the field, and nobody could stop him. You could only hope to contain him. And you couldn't cover a Jerry Rice with 2 or 3 people either. That's how crafty he was. He didn't have the raw talent that Randy Moss did, but he was better. Jerry Rice is better than Terrell Owens. Jerry Rice is better than Randy Moss. Two of my favorite. I love Moss. But come on, bro. You wasn't better than Jerry Rice, bro. You was not better than Jerry Rice, bro. Jerry Rice is the GOAT at wide receiver, the greatest wide receiver of all time. Look at, let's read these stats again. And hold on, before I read them, let's Google Randy Moss stats. Randy Moss stats, let's look these up. Pro Football Reference, we finna get Randy Moss's career stats. All right, so career receptions, Jerry Rice, 1,549. Randy Moss, 982. Career receiving yards, 22,895. Randy Moss, 15,292. Receiving touchdowns, 197 for Jerry Rice. Randy Moss, 156. Total touchdowns, they're not showing that for Randy, but Jerry Rice had 208 total touchdowns. And 23,546 career all-purpose yards. But just Jerry Rice just killing Randy. But Jerry Rice, what makes you think you're going to get stats like that? Just being average or not having that extra doggy mentality. Because everybody be like, well, Jerry Rice got those stats playing with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. I mean, and Steve Young. But other receivers played with Joe Montana and Steve Young. He didn't have those stats. Why didn't the other people who played with him have the same output? Because Jerry wanted it more. Jerry Rice was willing to die for this shit. Man, y'all stop with the flu gaze, man. Randy, I love you, bro. I love you, but you not the GOAT. You the second GOAT. You the baby GOAT, but you not the GOAT. I just drunk the hell out of that. But Jerry Rice, I just drunk the hell out of that goddamn water. Jerry Rice is a re-GOAT. If y'all disagree, put it in the comments why you disagree. Tell me you disagree and tell me why you disagree. If you disagree that Jerry Rice is the GOAT. I know some of y'all young thumpers might think he's not, but tell me why not, and we'll talk about it. Be respectful in your comments. All right, my homeboys ain't on here this week. Let me get into this. Hey, and let me pull this up. And reason why I'm saying be respectful in these comments. Hey, because last week, well, week before last, the first week of our college football playoff, we had a little buddy who was like, he called me a fuck boy in the comments. And I don't appreciate that shit. And the only reason I ain't going in on buddy last week, because I had my homeboys on and we ain't come on here for that. We came on to talk greatest college football of the last 40 years. But I'm going to say this while I'm by myself. Calling somebody a fuckboy and fighting words. You need to be ready. If you're going to call somebody a fuckboy, you need to be willing to die. You hear that, buddy? So for you, the fact that you took a long-running joke that I've been doing since like season one, season two on this show, by saying I'm the dude in your mom's, in your kitchen because I just hunched the moms and stuff, you took that shit serious. So clearly it hit somewhere with you. But I'm going to tell you like this. You a whole hoe and a half and a bitch, too. You call me a fuckboy, but you hiding behind your fucking computer and avatars and stuff. And you won't even put your fucking name on it and your face on it. Tell you like that. So there's no respect for you as a man. For you, first of all, for you to get mad about that shit anyway. You's a bitch. I don't even know you. I don't even know you. So for you to take it personal, show you how much of a bitch you are. For you to take it personal. Secondly, for you to sit there and call somebody a fuckboy who you don't know. I guarantee you would never call me a fuckboy in my face. I guarantee you, you would never call me a fuckboy in my face. But be careful how you throw that out, because you and I both know you're not going around in real life calling people fuckboys. We know that. But for you to take it serious, for you to take it personal, That show how much bitch you got in you. Grow the fuck up, man. It's fucking jokes. I don't even know you. Grow the fuck up. Because I'm not going to change my jokes. And this just might not be the podcast for you. All right. So let's talk about some college football scores. Update on scores. Because we are actually in the bowl games. So college football playoffs have been set. We're in the bowl games. So I'm going to give you the bowl games. I'm going to talk about some that have been played already. Tell you about ones that's coming up. And we're going to. So we're going to know what we know. All right. So we got, we have the half bowl games. We have Appalachian State versus North Texas. They played on the 21st and Appalachian State won 56-28. Had the famous Idaho Potato Bowl between Nevada and Tulane. Nevada won 38-27 over Tulane. Then we had the Boca Raton Bowl, which was BYU versus UCF, and BYU got the 49-23 victory over UCF in the Boca Raton Bowl. Then in the New Orleans Bowl, Georgia Southern versus Louisiana Tech, Georgia Southern got the 38-3 victory over La Tech in the New Orleans Bowl. Memphis beat Florida Atlantic in the bowl game. They don't say which bowl it was. They won 25-10. New Mexico Bowl. So Hawaii versus Houston. Hawaii got 28-14 victory over Houston. Marshall fell to Buffalo in the Camilla Bowl. So you have right to, yeah, today we have the First Responder Bowl, which is Louisiana Lafayette versus University of Texas San Antonio, UTSA. And Louisiana Lafayette is up at halftime, 17-7. Western Kentucky is playing Georgia State in the Lending Tree Bowl, and Georgia State is up 21-7 in the second quarter. Then you have the Cure Bowl, which is will be later on today at 7:30, which is Liberty versus Coastal Carolina. Then on the 29th, we got Oklahoma State versus Miami, Texas versus Colorado. On the 30th, we have Wake Forest versus Wisconsin, Iowa versus Missouri, Florida versus Oklahoma. And then we have the Armed Forces Bowl with Tulsa versus Mississippi State on the 21st. On the 31st. Ball State versus San Jose State on the 31st. West Virginia versus Army. Arkansas versus TCU. Then on New Year's Day, we got Georgia versus Cincinnati. Georgia probably gonna run through the edge. Now, Auburn versus Northwestern. And in the Rose Bowl game, we have Notre Dame versus Alabama. In the Sugar Bowl, we have Ohio State versus Clemson. The Gator Bowl, it is North Carolina State versus Kentucky. Mississippi versus Indiana. Oregon versus Iowa State. And then Texas A&M versus UNC. That rounds out our bowl game. All right. So we know who in these bowl games. We know who's playing. We know who's played. We know who's coming up. So it's really getting down on the get down so we can see who's going to be our 2021 national champions. So let's get into the NFL scores. Of course, we got a couple games coming up on this Christmas holiday weekend. So week 16. So upcoming this week, and we ain't have a lot of games yet, but we got the Vikings and the Saints, and the Saints beat the Vikings 52-33. And that boy, Alvin Kamara, scored 6 touchdowns. Yes, I said it. Alvin Kamara scored 6 touchdowns. 22 carries, 155 yards, 6 touchdowns of fantasy. That's the day you dream about with fantasy football. Drew Brees went 19 for 26, 311 yards, 2 picks. Dalvin Cook had 15 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown. So that's what happened with that. And there's not a lot of NFL scores yet for this week. So then the Buccaneers just opened their ass up and shitted on the Detroit Lions with a 47-7 victory. Tom Brady went 22 for damn. Tom Brady went 22 for 27. 348 yards and 4 touchdowns. 22 for 27, 348, 4 touchdowns. Then Blaine Gabbert came back, went 9 for 15, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Evans had 10 catches, 181 yards, two touchdowns. Chris Godwin, 5 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. Gronk had 2 catches, 58 yards and a touchdown, and 2 touchdowns. Antonio Brown, 4 catches, 35 yards and a touchdown. The boys get off. They got off on the Detroit Lions. So 47-7 is the final score of that game. And then coming up, we got the 49ers and the Cardinals at 4:30 today. And then 8 o'clock game is the Raiders and Dolphins. Then tomorrow we got Giants and Ravens. Let's go Ravens. Falcons, Chiefs, Jets, Browns, Bears, Jaguars, Bengals, Texans, Colts, Steelers, Panthers, Washington, Broncos, Chargers, Eagles, Cowboys. Let's go Cowboys. Rams, Seahawks, Titans, Packers, and Bills and Patriots. So that's what's happening in the NFL. And so NBA season, the 2020 NBA season has started, has kicked off. It didn't start exactly on Christmas Day. So NBA season started on December 23rd. So December 23rd, I'm going to update you from the 23rd on to now. So December 23rd, we got the Wizards, the debut of the new Wizards and the new 76ers. So we know Russell Westbrook is now a Washington Wizard in the trade to Houston for John Wall. And then Doc Rivers is the new coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. And Russell Westbrook had a triple-double, but the Wizards fall 107-113 to 76ers. The Bucks fell to the Celtics with a Jason Tatum game-winning shot. The Celtics take a 122-121 victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. New Orleans Pelicans get a win in their debut over the Raptors with a 113-99 victory. Hey, man, keep your eye on the Pelicans. Zion, Ingram, Ball, and Drew Holiday. It's a nice court. Keep your eye on the Pelicans. The Spurs beat the Grizzlies 131-119. The Hawks opened their ass up and took a shit on the Bulls 124-104. The Pistons fell to the Timberwolves 101-111. Kings fell to the Nuggets 124-122. The Kings beat the Nuggets 124-122. Jazz beat the Trailblazers 120-100. The Suns beat the Mavericks 106-102. So yesterday we had the Pelicans. They fell to the Heat. The Heat put it on them boys 111-98 on Christmas Day. The Bucks beat the Warriors 138-99. They beat their ass. The Nets beat the Celtics. They beat their ass 123-95. The Lakers beat the shit out of the Mavericks 138-115. And the Clippers beat the shit out of the Nuggets 121-108. All right. So those are updates on scores on the NBA, college football, and the NFL. So last week, they're trying to play. So last week, me and the homies, our weekly rant was aimed at Kyrie Irving. And that's, you know, for a lot of stuff that Kyrie Irving has said in the media that was like, hey, bro, you wildin' for saying that. Like, I did say be your ass quiet, but not shut up and don't ever talk again. Just like, boy, be your ass quiet on that crazy stuff, boy. But Charles Barkley basically like, shut the hell up. He said, Charles Barkley wants Kyrie Irving to shut the hell up and talk basketball. And we want Charles Barkley to shut the fuck up, period. Irving, the Nets star point guard, recently threatened to boycott talking to the media, instead releasing statements through a PR person or on social media. He and the Nets were both fined $25,000 for breaking the NBA's media rules, and Irving did speak with reporters on Monday. Barkley went off on Irving during an appearance on ESPN's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show Thursday morning for thinking he could skirt his media responsibilities in his overall approach. He said, they don't pay you $40 million just to play basketball. Part of it is sitting down with you guys, sitting down with me and Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal, talking to the New York reporters, Barkley said. Being with the media is part of your professional obligation. I'm surprised Charles Barkley could say obligation. Now, you can say what you want to say, but these guys today, they're different. I don't hate on them, but I'm not sure what point Kyrie is trying to make. thinking for themselves. I mean, why should the guys be like y'all? Y'all were docile than the motherfucker. Barkley went on to talk about how he is confused over what Irving is actually trying to say. Irving seemingly called the media pawns in an Instagram post and said when speaking to the media that it was about the mistreatment of certain artists when we get to a platform of when we can make decisions with our own within our lives to have full control and ownership. Barkley wasn't having it. He starts talking about what an artist is. The TNT analyst said he's a basketball player. That's what he is. Listen, we're not frontline responders. We're not teachers. Yo, man, you dribble a basketball. Stop acting like you're the smartest person in the world. Well, if the man thinks he's an artist, the man thinks he's an artist. Kyrie does art on the court. He does art on the court. Now, I do think Kyrie be off on a lot of stuff he be talking about when it comes to him being an intellectual, but that's his business. I only get in when Kyrie start doing crazy stuff that affect his team and affect his teammates and stuff like that. But if that man want to be an artist, that man can be an artist. You don't have to agree. That's how he think about himself. I don't have to agree on his intellectual stuff that he be saying, but hey, if that's him, that's him. Whatever. But I'm not going to tell that man he can't talk. And I'm not going to tell that man to shut the hell up and just stick to basketball with Charles Barkley. You sit up there and try to articulate yourself all the time and you'll be knowing what the fuck you talking about. Plus, you can barely get the words out your fat ass mouth. So I'm just saying, you are being very hypocritical right now. And the players these days don't need to be like the players of your days. Because once again, the player in your days, y'all was docile. Y'all was soft. Y'all let people dictate y'all and control y'all and own y'all. These players these days say, fuck that. Now, you could talk about social issues and things like that, of course. But some of this other stuff, I'm like, yo, man, you do realize you're just a basketball player, right? And it seems like he is. No, I want you guys to know I'm the smartest guy in the room. Well, first of all, you're not. You only went to college for 6 months. A lot of guys are smarter than you. Just answer stupid basketball questions. And if you want to say something about social justice, say it and mean it, because it's important and significant. But all that other stuff, like, yo, man, shut the hell up and talk basketball. So that's what Charles Barkley is saying. And my thing is, I don't agree with most of the shit Kyrie say, but we're not going to tell that man to shut up and play basketball. As an OG, why don't you reach out to him and try to help steer him in the right direction to be able to get his points out more articulately and clearly versus blasting him? You want to know why? Because you are a bitch yourself, Charles Barkley. You come that same cloth, that same mouth. I'ma just be saying shit. I ain't got no beef with Kyrie, even though last week we said what we said and we fucking meant what we said. Be your ass quiet on that other stuff. You do need a coach. You're not the best player in the league and all that other stuff there. But you're not better than LeBron. You're not in LeBron's league. But no black man in the media should ever tell another black man to just shut up and stick to basketball when you know what the hell is going on. See, that'd be my issue with Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley seemed like he'd go out of his way to make white people feel comfortable or to say things that white people would be saying to black people or to even think like a white man. Like, bruh, stop that shit. Chill out. Let that man speak his piece. You don't have to agree to it. You can ignore it. You can ignore it. If he wanted to, I know I question a lot of his stuff as he come off as an intellect. I know I do because I do my research and I read. But Kyrie, hey, man, I'm not going to tell you that you're not smart. Even though I question your intelligence, I'm not going to tell you that you're not smart. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't say. Now, I will say, stop acting like you are better than LeBron and LeBron's class. So if you can say, hey, man, now I finally got a closer when Kyrie, you wouldn't be in those positions without LeBron. If it wasn't for LeBron, if you wouldn't have played with LeBron on Cleveland. You wouldn't just so happen to be on the team in Cleveland. Nobody would be talking to you, talking about you in the light that they talk about you because you don't have a ring. They'll talk about you like they talk about Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is a great talent. He ain't got no rings either. But Charles Barkley, shut the fuck up, man. Stop trying to tell people that they can't say certain things. They can't talk a certain way and they can't do these certain things. Especially like in the intellectual realm, in the sports realm, we haven't seen him back up none of that stuff he said in the sports realm on the court. In the intellectual realm, Man, it is what it is. It ain't that serious. But if you say something side, extra sideways, we're going to come after you. But I never tell you that you're not smart and you can't talk at all. Or you only went to college for 6 months. But it's cats who never went to college that are way smarter than you, Charles Barkley. Cats who never went to college that are way smarter than you. Going to college, I went to college. Going to college don't make your ass smart. Charles Barkley, the hell up. All right? So hold on, let me send this message. All right. So once again, Charles Barkley, stop saying that. You always open your mouth and some dumb shit come out. Season is early and you already open your mouth and some dumb shit is coming out. Leave that man alone. Shut the fuck up. And go on about your business. Because how you going to get on Kyrie Irving for saying crazy shit when you say crazy shit all the time? The pot calling the kettle black. You say crazy shit all the time, but now you don't want nobody else to say it. Okay. All right. It's time. Time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at old Sage Steele. Some people call her old butter biscuit eating bed wench. That's what some people call her. I ain't gonna call all that. All I know is I'm side-eyeing the hell out of Sage, been side-eyeing the hell out of Sage, and I don't trust her ass. So ESPN replaces Sage Steele with the woman she tried to get fired. So karma always finds a way to win. Sage Steele would no longer be anchoring the almighty daily 6 p.m. edition of SportsCenter, according to ESPN. Sage Steele will move to the noon Eastern edition of SportsCenter as co-anchor after the college football playoff, and will add a new periodic ESPN Plus interview program to her slate. Steele is being replaced by Elle Duncan, the black woman she recently tried to get fired. What the fuck? Or at least demoted. Duncan will take over in February and co-host the show with Kevin Negande Monday through Friday, despite how the press release reads, this is a demotion for Steele. So back in July, Steele told the Wall Street Journal that two of her fellow black colleagues, Duncan and Michael Eaves, allegedly worked to keep her from taking part in this special that took place in June called Time for Change, We Won't Be Defeated. The show was hosted by SportsCenter anchors Duncan, Eaves, and Jay Harris, along with Maria Taylor, as they led a conversation that explored black athletes' experience with injustice. When a journalist goes to another publication with allegations about their coworkers, it's not to get them promoted. It's to tarnish their reputation, damage their credibility, or get them fired. So that's according to his articles. According to the Wall Street Journal, Steele believes that Duncan and Eaves told management that she wouldn't be accepted by what they considered the black community, while leaving out the fact that arguably two of the biggest black voices at ESPN, Stephen A. Smith and Bomani Jones, didn't participate in the program either. I found it sad for all of us that day, for all of us that any human beings should be allowed to define someone's blackness, Steele told the Journal. Growing up biracial in America with a black father and a white mother, I felt the inequities that many, if not all, black and biracial people have felt. Being called a monkey, the N-word, having ape sounds made as I walked by, words and actions that all of us know sting forever. Most importantly, trying to define who is and isn't black enough goes against everything we were fighting for in this country and goes and only creates more of a divide. See, I don't believe shit that's coming out of Sage Steele's mouth, because if Sage Steele really faced that type of treatment from white people, she either had Stockholm Syndrome or she fucking lying. Now, I'm not doubting that we know she's biracial and all these things still, but Sage Steele has a history of saying some left field shit and coming off to demeaning things that black people got going on and supporting white supremacy. Sage Steele has rhetoric that supports white supremacy. Sage Steele has rhetoric that supports everything that's going on white. Going back to the white boy, can I touch your hair on sports and to a lot of the other things that she said and did? And then this trying to get two black anchors fired. Sage Steele, that's some fuck shit. Black people are not a monolithic group. We are very diverse. It's one of the reasons why we look out for each other, especially in this business of sports journalism. But that's not what you did if you went to another publication talking behind people's back. But you would be hard-pressed to find a black person in the industry with glowing things to say about Steele. Her allies of color are few, and it's not hard to understand why when you consider what she did to Eves and Duncan. The disappointing part for me is seeing a story like this, and this is what the article is saying. The disappointing part for me is seeing a story like this is that, as far as I know, that whenever Sage has been caught up in various controversies, I don't recall any of her black colleagues going out of their way to amplify those controversies, Jemele Hill told Deadspin back in July. Depending on Elle and Mike, as if they made a decision like this in a vacuum, it just seems to be taking an unfair shot at your colleagues for no reason, Jemele Hill said. When that controversy took place during the summer, it was a black ESPN employee who initially informed me about it. And shortly after, it was another black employee that called me from the car and was so infuriated by Steele's accusations that they almost got into an accident. A senior producer in the ABC ESPN family previously confirmed to Deadspin that they had to convince panelists to do a Black History Month speaker series that Steele was a part of, which featured other prominent black female voices like Maria Taylor, Pam Oliver, and Lisa Salters. But as good as Steele is at her job, her greatest talent is her tone deafness. This is what the Indiana alum tweeted earlier this month. So earlier this month, she tweeted, difficult time in this country, difficult time in sports for young athletes everywhere. Thank goodness the Big Ten finally did the right thing, reversing this decision and playing after all, making priceless, memorable moments like this possible. So basically what they're saying is her tone, she's tone deaf because she thinks that playing football is something that should be happening in the time of COVID and civil unrest in this country. Football is the cure. According to CBS Sports, at least 135 football games have been postponed or canceled this season due to COVID-19. And according to the CDC, over 300,000 Americans have died from the virus. There are over 16 million American reported cases. And then he says, way to read the room, Sage. Tweeted just another to add to her long list of public remarks that prove that she doesn't care about anything besides her own self-interest. In 2016, she attacked Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans for sitting during the national anthem. In 2017, she complained about her flight being delayed due to people protesting Trump's immigration ban at LAX and told a crowd in Florida that the worst racism I see comes from black people. I remember that. Later that year, Steele had expressed how she doesn't want to hear about Charlottesville on SportsCenter, defended NFL owners for not signing Kaepernick, and told the worldwide ESPN need to stick to sports, only to publicly accused Evans and Duncan of blackballing her from a program that didn't stick to sports less than 3 years later. Right. This is who Sage Steele has always been during the summer. The person who wrote the article labeled Steele as ESPN's version of Candace Owens and suggested that Fox News would be a better fit for her. Sage Steele about that fuck shit. Sage Steele has always been about that fuck shit. And Sage Steele will always be about that fuck shit. Because Sage Steele believes to get ahead, you have to appeal to the sensibility of the racist people in this country. That's what Sage Steele believes she has to do to get ahead in her industry, in this country, and as a black woman, as a half black woman, a biracial woman in America. She believes she has to appeal to the sensibilities of the people who oppress half of her, half of who she is. And that's crazy. People like Sage Steele, like me cussing her out, not even gonna do nothing about it. When the 12 o'clock Sports Center come on, don't watch it. For somebody like a Sage Steele, whatever she has going on, don't support shit Sage Steele got going on. Because Sage Steele is a black person who works in behalf of white supremacy, who can't see the fuck shit she got going on. She can't see it. She don't understand it. And she really believes that she's doing the right thing. She really believes that she's helping to progress this country, because the progression of the country means that black people should remain docile and black people should remain second class citizens while white people reap the benefits and black people like her are treated as pets. That's one thing folk like her don't realize. You all are treated as pets. The white folk don't like y'all like that. They see y'all as pets. And when they get through with y'all, and when they've completed that mission, they throw you away. Say still, I pray that you wake up one day and realize the error of your ways and realize how you are the Sambo. Say still is not an Uncle Tom. Say still is the Sambo. Go back and read Uncle Tom's Cabin. Uncle Tom went so far as to, he was willing to die to help black people. Uncle Tom risked his life to help black people. Sambo was the one that sold black people out. So don't ever call somebody Uncle Tom in a negative sense because you're complimenting them. Call them a Sambo. A Sambo is the insult. Calling somebody who's a sellout Uncle Tom, you compliment them because Uncle Tom went out his way and he was willing to die for black people, especially black women. Sambo was the sellout. Sage Sambo Steele is what we got going on. And somebody like Sage Steele, all we have to do, just remember, don't support Sambos. Don't support sellouts like Sage Steele. They believe if she love white people like that, let's let the white people support her and protect her and do all that stuff. And the white man she married to and every and all the white dicks that she ride. I don't know. But Sage Steele, you got life fucked up. And that's this week's episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. I'll be back next week. Turn up my homeboys. We continue our countdown the greatest college football teams of the past 40 years. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. patreon.com/thefix is where you can support your homeboy. Your proceeds will go to helping enhance the Fix Sports Podcast, also allowing us to be able to give back more to the communities that we serve. We do our podcast and then we do community service already. So make sure y'all holler at your homeboy one more time. Remember, we're available on all podcast outlets. Subscribe to our Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. This episode really going down on our Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. So, all's well as ends well. Two fingers in the air like a player, man. I am up out of here.